This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to The Performance Habit. This show is all about exploring practical ways that you can feel your best, however you define that, so that you can get the most out of life. I'm Josie Askin, a behaviour change specialist and performance coach from Spring Coaching. I work with teams and individuals to improve performance and productivity in a way that is sustainable and doable. I want to start this month's episode by actually sharing a very important message. Today is a very special day because it's my mum's birthday. So mum, if you're listening at home, a very happy birthday to you. I hope you have a wonderful day. Enjoy your lunch out. And just thank you for everything that you do. It's also my brother-in-law's birthday. He's probably less likely to be listening at home, but just in case, happy birthday, Aaron, to you too. Now that I've got that very important message done, let's do a quick recap of what we've been discussing the last couple of months before we dive into today's topic. So we've been dedicating the first couple of sessions of the year to talk about goal setting. So in our February episode, we dove into the art of goal setting, why goals matter, how to set them, and the common mistakes to avoid when setting them. The first thing we learned was a definition of a goal from Dr. Elliot Berkman, who is a professor of psychology and is also the director of the Social and Effective Neuroscience Lab and co-director of the Centre for Translational Neuroscience at the University of Oregon. In a nutshell, he is a very smart man who is particularly interested in understanding how behaviour, motivation and neurosystems work together to help us to pursue and achieve our goals. So his definition of a goal is any desired outcome that wouldn't otherwise happen without some kind of intervention. And this is important because what this is saying is that in order for a goal to be a goal, you have to do something new, something different to what you would usually do. And that in itself means that goals are tricky. Goals contain friction and resistance, and that's why they're so hard to achieve. The very definition of a goal requires you to venture into uncharted territory, which, let's be honest, is difficult. We also learned that every goal needs two essential ingredients. You need to have a will, which is the emotional aspect of the goal. You can think of it like the motivation or the why behind the thing that you want to do. And you also need a way. This is the cognitive aspect of the goal. How you're actually going to do it. So having a bit of a plan. We also talked about the five most common mistakes that people make when setting a goal. Now, I'm not going to go into detail in today's episode, but I do encourage you to pop back a couple of episodes to have a listen to those five mistakes, particularly if you feel that your goals usually fall flat, and maybe because you too have fallen into one of those five mistakes. Then last month, we talked about how it's one thing to set a goal, and it's another thing to set a goal well, i.e. having the will in the way and avoiding those five mistakes that we talked about. But it's a whole different ballgame to actually follow through and do the doing part. After all, I'm sure we've all at some point in time said we're going to do something and then not followed through. That's the gap between knowing and doing. Or you can think about it as a difference between intent and action. So last month we talked about the difference between goals and systems. A goal being the desired outcome, like maybe saving $10,000 or running a marathon, and a system being the small repeatable behaviours that you do to create the change so that you can achieve the goal. So for example, with saving $10,000, that'd be the goal. The system could be setting up an automatic payment to your savings account, or with the marathon, it could be setting up a meeting to go out for a long run with a friend every Saturday morning, if that's your jam. So systems are process focused and they tend to be things that are within your control. So last month, I shared some frameworks to help you build the system you need to achieve the goal. The first one was the Goal, Skill, Practice, Action, or GSPA for short, framework, which helps you break a big goal down into small actions, which are ideally daily actions. Then we discussed focus mapping, which is a technique to help you determine which action will deliver best bang for buck, because let's face it, life is short. And not all actions are created equal. We want to make sure that we're doing the action that's going to get us to our goal quickest. And then we also talked about habit stacking, which is an approach to help you do the thing, the action that you decide to do regularly by pairing it with something else that you already do. Now, I'm not going to dive into the details of those three tools, the GSPA framework, focus mapping, or habit stacking, but again, I encourage you to pop back to last month's episode and check it out if that sounds of interest to you. So this month, we're going to take it up one more notch. This will be our last session on goal setting because I know that it's one thing to do something new for a week or two when, we're brimming with enthusiasm, it's exciting, we're motivated, but then often we can quickly lose motivation. And I can't tell you how many clients I speak to that tell me that the reason why they can't reach their goal or do what it is that they want to do is because they lack willpower. They talk about not having the discipline or the motivation. I've even had people tell me that they're broken because no matter how hard they try, they can't stick to something. Now, I want to say this is really the case. Instead, they just haven't yet been given the tools, the techniques that they need in order to make change easier. Change will always be hard. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Change is hard, but it is doable, particularly if you have the tools and the tricks to help you do that. So that's what we're going to cover off today. So today we're going to discuss, first of all, the power of the compound effect. Then we're going to talk about why consistency beats perfection every time. Then I'm going to share a framework with you called the Four Tendencies, because we all have a natural tendency when it comes to meeting expectation, and that influences behavior change and how easy it is for us to stick to habits. So we're going to learn a little bit about ourselves as well. I'm then going to share two tools to help boost momentum because, be honest, momentum is more important than motivation. Motivation will always dwindle. You want to have the momentum to keep you going. And then I know that despite best intentions, life can still trip us up. So I'm going to share some ways to beat the blockers that can come along. So let's start with our first topic, which is all about the power of compound effect. I'm going to start off this topic by just chatting through an idea. So if you could choose between receiving $3 million in cash today, and yes, I know that right now $3 million would come in handy, particularly with the price of fuel and everything else at the moment. If you could pick $3 million in cash today, would you choose that, or would you rather have 1 cent that doubles every day for 31 days? So, for example, on day one, you'd get 1 cent. On day two, you would get 2 cents. On day three, you'd get 4 cents. On day four, you'd get 8 cents, and so on. So, let's skip ahead. Imagine we fast forward to day 31. So, if you'd opted for the first option, you'd have $3 million in your bank account. That's if you haven't spent a cent over that month. Do you want to take a guess at how much you'd be getting at day 31 if you'd opted for 1 cent every day that doubles every day? If you had chosen that second option, you would have 10,737,418 dollars, so nearly $11 million. That's almost four times the first option of 3 million, and that's the magic of compounding. And yet, I know that most of us, if given those two choices, would pick the 3 million, because we underestimate the power of small changes. Because of the amount of time it takes to get results, we get impatient. We want change quicker. And it's the same principle behind our habits and our behavior. Small, consistent actions over time create huge results, much bigger than big bursts of effort or big dramatic leaps ever will. But it does take time. It really does. And that's the part that most of us struggle with. Reminds me of a favorite quote, which is, "Most people overestimate what they can do in 1 year, and they underestimate what they can do in 10 years." And that's why small improvements matter. We're conditioned to think in order to get big results, we need to do something big and grand. But in reality, success actually comes from actions that are so simple. Often they can feel almost boring. It's the little things that we repeat over time that dictate how our life becomes. I always ask my clients at the end of every session what's been most useful for them in that particular session. And I remember one of my clients once saying that it was a realization that the work that we'd been doing together wasn't earth-shattering. We hadn't done anything big or dramatic. It was all really doable, easy things for her to do. But the result for her had been earth-shattering. And that's this idea of the compound effect, or the power of small steps. It's something that James Clear in Atomic Habits also discusses, this idea of being 1% better every day, which also happens to be the tagline of the activewear brand LSKD. So just 1% improvement each day compounds to nearly 38 times better by year end. The challenge, of course, is that the progress feels slow at first. Remember that 1 cent, 2 cent, 4 cent, 8 cent, 16 cent, and so on. But then once momentum kicks in, it builds and builds. Now, if you're like me and you like to know kind of the formula behind things, you can check the math for yourself. That would be 1.01 because it's 1% better to the power of 365. And that works out to be 37.78. Almost 38 times, as I said, and that's why consistency is key. Consistency beats intensity every time. As I said, remember 1 cent that doubles every day versus 3 million? I've mentioned before in this radio series two gentlemen called Brad Stolberg and Steve Magnus, and they say, don't aim to be consistently great, aim to be great at being consistent. And it's so true. Now, if you're listening at home and you're thinking you'll never be able to achieve perfect compliance or to do something 100% or do something each and every day, please don't stress. Know that you don't have to. Anything is better than nothing. So focus on the overall direction, not perfection. An example I like to give from my life is that I'm currently learning Japanese via Duolingo, which is a language learning app that gamifies learning. So I've got a holiday planned to Japan in the coming months, so I've been brushing up on my high school Japanese. Now, in an ideal world, I would do a little bit of Japanese every day so that I'd have a perfect streak. And for the most part, I'm pretty good, I do. But every now and then, life gets busy and I slip up. Now, I know for some people, when they see a broken streak, they feel that they might as well give up. That, what's the point? But when I miss a day, I always remind myself of what the purpose is. So for me, I'm doing Japanese, learning Japanese, to be able to understand and converse a little bit with the locals while I'm over in Japan. It's not really about how many day streaks I have with Duolingo. It is about being in Japan and being able to converse with locals. And also, I have to add that lucky for me with Duolingo, if you do miss a day, what that means is you have a streak freeze. And so long as you do it the next day, you can maintain your streak. Because missing 1 day in the grand scheme of things doesn't actually matter. That's life. It's a spiral, particularly if we fall into the trap of telling ourselves off and beating ourselves up, that usually follows. That's the problem. As James Clear in Atomic Habits says, the first mistake is never the one that ruins you. It's a spiral of repeated mistakes that follows. Missing once is an accident. Missing twice is the start of a new habit. So let me repeat that. Missing once is an accident. It's life. We all slip up occasionally. Missing twice is the start of a new habit. So a key lesson here is to never miss twice in a row. If you miss once, it's okay. It's just a small stumble. Don't sweat it. Pick yourself up, be kind, and just carry on. That's the easiest way to keep momentum going. The longer you leave it, the harder it is to get back into it. Now, one of the most powerful insights I've come across is knowing how we respond to different expectations or our tendency. So the Four Tendencies Framework by Gretchen Rubin helps us to understand how we meet our expectations. So, for example, like a work deadline or a request from a family member or a friend versus an inner expectation, which is something that we promise ourselves, like, I will learn guitar or I'll go out for a walk before work. When I explain how this framework works, I'm sure it's going to make a lot of sense why some of us can easily stick to New Year's resolutions, whereas others of us, no matter how hard we try, we just don't seem to manage it. So let me talk you through how this framework works and what the different tendencies are. So by far, the biggest group of us fit within what's called the obliger group. So they represent about 41% of the population. And these people, they're the backbone of our society. They meet outer expectations easily, but they struggle with inner expectations. So if these people had a motto, it would be, you can count on me, and I'm counting on you to count on me. So our obligers really thrive with external accountability. And by far, the majority of my clients fit into this first group. As I say, they're the backbone of the society. They make the best teammates, the best bosses, the best friends and family members because they're responsible. You can rely on them. But like everything, there's a bit of a shadow to this trait, and they can quickly become overwhelmed or burnt out because they're always putting other people's needs ahead of their own. And as a consequence, they can sometimes start to feel resentful and also self-sabotage. They can fall into a little bit of a rebellion trick. So our obligers, they thrive with accountability. Our next group, representing about a quarter of the population, about 24%, they question everything and will only act if it makes sense. This means that they readily meet inner expectations, but they struggle with external expectations. So their motto would be, I'll comply if you convince me why. So they're that person that's always asking why. They seek to understand, and they move fastest when there's a clear why. So you'll remember we talked about those two essential ingredients for a goal. Questioners need to have the reason for doing something in the first place. They need to have that will, the why. Our upholders, a similar proportion, they're 19%. They readily meet inner and outer expectations without much fuss. This is the person that can easily set a New Year's resolution and they'll stick to it. They excel with structure and routine. Their motto would be, discipline is my freedom. And finally, our rebels. So they resist all expectations. They find it hard to meet external and internal expectations. This means that their motto would be, you can't make me, and neither can I. And if you're a rebel, you thrive when goals feel like a personal choice that you get to choose. You thrive on spontaneity, not structure or routine. So, based on those descriptions alone, you may already have an inkling in terms of what your tendency is. But if you want to know for sure, you can do a quick search under Gretchen Rubin and Four Tendencies, and you'll find that she's got a short 5-minute quiz that will tell you and also give you some tips on how to utilize the strength of your tendency. Because matching your approach and the way that you handle and approach behavior change and habits to your tendency, it makes life so much easier. It saves energy and it really just helps with the motivation and momentum. So, given obligers are the biggest proportion and they definitely represent most of the people that I work with, I want to delve into what's a real game changer for obligers. but also it works for everyone out there, and that's accountability. Accountability is such a powerful thing for anyone. So research shows that if you set yourself a goal, your probability of success is around 10%. That probably explains why so many New Year's resolutions fall flat within the second week of January. Now, if you set a goal and you make a really conscious, intentional decision to do it, like really think about it, work out your will and your way, that jumps to 25%. If you set a timeline, it jumps to 40%. Make a detailed plan, so really honing into that cognitive aspect of goal setting, it jumps to 50%. Now, if you tell someone that you know, like, and trust about what you're going to be doing, your goal, that jumps to 65%. So already we've gone from 10% up to 65%. But you can do even better if you tell someone you know, like, and trust, and then you agree a time that you're going to check in with them and let them know how you're doing. Your likelihood, your probability of success jumps to 95%. And that's huge. That's pretty much as good as done. Accountability is so powerful that Proctor, who was the author of You Were Born Rich, often refers to accountability as the glue that ties commitment to results. So accountability is a really powerful tool. And if this is something you'd like to know more about or you'd like help with, particularly if what I was saying about obliges resonates with you, then please get in touch because accountability support is something that I do provide for those that need it. So accountability is one great tool to help keep momentum going so that you keep doing that thing and achieve your goal. Another powerful tool is what's called habit tracking. And it is exactly as it sounds. You're tracking a habit, whether that be putting ticks in a notebook or if you've got a page that you're printing out. And the reason why habit tracking is so powerful is because it provides visible progress. You can think about every single tick as a win. It's like having a to-do list and ticking things off. And of course, we know that small actions compound and that consistency is key. So by seeing a record of all the wins, well, it just makes you feel like you're winning. And of course, success breeds success. So habit tracking is really powerful. Who would have thought that ticking things off could be so motivating? Now, if you do decide to do habit tracking, just a few little tips and tricks for you. I suggest you only pick one or two habits to track at a time. Otherwise, it can get quite overwhelming. You can feel like you're spending your whole time ticking things off. So just focus on one or two things, less is certainly more. And make sure that it's something that's important to you. Otherwise, it's going to feel meaningless ticking something off if it's not something you actually want to do. So pick a few key habits, track them, reflect, and most importantly, celebrate. Maybe you decide that every 10 ticks you celebrate in some way. Honestly, that sense of visible progress is really going to fuel momentum and keep you going. As Dan Hardy, author of The Compound Effect, a really great book, by the way, says, track every action that relates to the area of the life that you want to improve. And he says that all winners are trackers. So there's a couple of tools to help you, but I do know that even with the best tools, the best tricks, sometimes life can throw some curveballs. And well, blockers can come in many different forms. So let's talk through a few of those kind of blockers, the barriers that may come along that could get in your way when you're working towards something that you really want to achieve. And the first one I want to touch on is forgetfulness. This happens to all of us, especially me at the moment as a female in my mid-40s. I can walk into a room and forget what it was I was about to do. So yes, I understand that sometimes, despite best intentions, we'll forget to do something, like do our Japanese lesson on Duolingo. Now, when you do remember, act immediately and then resume again at that next scheduled opportunity, whenever is the usual time for you to do that thing. Because remember, missing once is life. It's okay. Missing twice in a row is the start of a pattern. And of course, habit stacking that we discussed last month is a really great way to remember to do the thing that you want to do. So, But most importantly, and this is going to be for all of the blockers that we're going to be talking about, is to be kind to yourself. Skip the guilt, because it's when we start to beat ourselves up that's when we can get into that downward spiral where it suddenly becomes really hard to pick ourselves up and continue on. So be kind, skip the guilt. So forgetfulness, that's the first blocker. The second one can actually just be a busy life. Life is very full. So what I would encourage you to do is to think ahead. If you know that you've got a really busy time of work coming up, or you've got some travel, to plan ahead and set what I call a minimal viable plan or product. That's where you decide on what the bare minimum of the thing is that you're doing that still counts. So for example, if you've set yourself a goal around, we'll use the exercise example again, going out for a morning walk. Maybe you decide that when you're on holiday, that rather than going out for a 30-minute walk, your thing is that you'll just go for a walk around the block where your hotel is. And then decide on how long this thing is going to last for. So if you know that you're going to be busy for all of April, maybe decide that for April you cut yourself some slack, but from the 1st of May you're back at that thing. It's about bringing some intention, some mindfulness to the thing that you're doing, and that makes you feel like you're in control. And remember, skip the guilt, be kind to yourself, life gets busy. Another thing that can happen that can be a bit of a barrier, a bit of a block, is that you can just lose interest in the thing that you're doing. Now, if this happens to you, try to reconnect to your deep why, the reason behind the goal in the first place. And I've talked in previous episodes about the five why technique, where you ask yourself why five times to truly uncover why you're doing the thing that you're doing. And if you find that you're still interested, that thing is still important to you, great, pick yourself up and continue on. But if you decide that it's not important, pick something else to focus on. It's okay to pivot to something that's more meaningful. And it could be that if you decide that this thing is still important to you, but you've lost interest, maybe it's just that you haven't picked the right action to focus on. And so rather than just throwing it out altogether, you could either use the GSPA framework that I mentioned earlier, or use a focus mapping technique to pick another action to focus on. And again, please be kind, skip the guilt. And as I say, it's okay to pivot to something else if the thing that you were doing isn't important to you anymore. Another blocker or barrier that can come along is low energy. And I had a client that this happened to a lot, where she had the goal of getting up every morning and doing some exercise, but then often her alarm would go off and she would be too tired. And so what we talked about doing was to set a threshold of what would require her to do the thing. So when she woke up, she would give herself a rating out of 5 for how tired she is. And beforehand, she would decide that if, say, for example, she was a 4 or a 5 out of 5 for tiredness, that she would prioritize rest over exercising. But if she was a 1, 2, or 3 out of 5, then she would count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and up she'd get and she'd go and do that thing. By setting herself a threshold of what was considered energy, it meant that she had some sort of benchmark to work towards. Another idea I have for when you are feeling low on energy is just committing to, say, 5 minutes or 2 minutes to do that thing, because often it's the action that sparks motivation. Often we can wait to feel like doing something, but actually once you do the thing, the motivation follows. And again, be kind to yourself. If you are truly tired, maybe it is a better idea to rest. Another barrier can be when you feel like you're not making any progress at all. And this is because change takes time. So sometimes it is about managing expectations, understanding that success isn't linear, success compounds over time. Another kind of rule of thumb that I have is this rule of thirds, that when you're chasing big goals, and this comes from an Olympian, a third of the time it's going to feel easy. A third of the time is going to feel okay, manageable, you can do it, but maybe not as great as it could be. And a third of the time, well, to be honest, it's going to feel really challenging and a bit crappy. And if it's falling roughly within those thirds, you're actually doing really well. It means that that thing that you're working towards is a big goal. So it is always about also reviewing and refining. If you're feeling that, things feeling challenging more than a third of the time, maybe it's about picking a different action or breaking that thing down into a smaller bite-sized chunk. And again, please be kind and skip the guilt. And finally, a barrier that can come across is actually you just can't start. You can't get that motivation to take that first step. And often this is due to the action that you're trying to do being too big to begin with. And so I'd encourage you to shrink that thing down, that action down, to the smallest step possible. Pick something that's so easy that you know that you can do it. One of the things that I often do when I'm working with my clients is I ask them how confident are they that they can do the thing that they've said that they want to do. And if it's below a 9 out of 10, we talk about what are the barriers, what are the things that are stopping them from doing it. And if we can't remove those barriers, we break it down further to make sure that that thing that they want to do is so small that they can do it. I want them to feel at least a 9 out of 10 confident that they can do it. And again, skip the guilt. So let's quickly sum up this month's session. So what are some of the key takeaways? We've talked about how small wins add up. Remember, $3 million versus 1 cent that doubles every day over 31 days. And this idea of 1% better each day compounds into big results, nearly 38 times better by the end of a year. This idea of consistency or progress over perfection, remember, is more about the direction rather than flawless execution. Which brings us back to that idea of if you miss once, that's okay, that's life. But try not to miss twice to avoid that downward spiral. We talked about the four tendency framework, and so knowing your tendency and tailoring your strategies to suit your style, whether that be being an obliger, a questioner, an upholder, or a rebel. This idea of using support systems, tools to support you, whether that be using accountability or habit tracking, both are game changers. And then finally, please practice self-compassion. Kindness is going to be the thing that helps you bounce back faster and avoid that downward spiral. So practice self-compassion. Be kind. Talk to yourself like you would a child or your best friend. Because even the tiniest steps, repeated consistently, will add up to remarkable change. Because that's the power of small steps. Thank you so much for listening to the Performance Habit this month. I hope there's something there for you to really help you to just keep that momentum going when you're chasing your big goals, so that you can get across the finishing line and hopefully even enjoy the journey along the way. I'm looking forward to catching up with you next month, but until then, kia kaha.